Every business faces challenges. Whether you need more space, a better location, or a little more curb appeal, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. I'm J.R. Whalen reporting from the newsroom in New York. We'll have the day's tech headlines in a moment. But first, Uber says in the coming days it'll notify customers affected by a massive data breach that occurred a year ago. The company is also coming under fire for paying hackers $100,000 to conceal that data breach. And Wall Street Journal reporter Robert McMillan joins us via Skype to discuss. So, Robert, can you just give us an idea of how much customer info and driver data was involved here?
Well, this is a lot of customer data. It's not a Equifax or a Yahoo amount, which those are almost like breaches onto themselves. They're a special category. But we're talking about 57 million Uber users, and there's some more sensitive information, driver's license numbers, for example, of about 600,000 drivers in the United States.
Now, Uber has fired two executives as a result of this, but the company also says that it paid the hackers $100,000 to destroy the breached data. Are they confident that was carried out?
They are, but, you know, in the digital age, it's sometimes difficult to prove that something has not been copied. I'm not sure how they would really know for sure that hadn't happened. They do seem to be certain that everything is okay in that respect. One thing about this breach that I find interesting is this sort of illustrates the sometimes fuzzy gray line between people who go around and find bugs on companies' websites or with products. These are called sort of bug bounty hunters, and people who are committing extortion. Companies have to deal with this quite a lot. Like if I were to, you know, find a bug on Uber's website, I could go there and quite legitimately claim a bounty for doing so, and Uber could pay me, and that would settle things. In this case, it seems like the company crossed the line because these guys, first of all, don't seem to be legitimate bug bounty hunters, but also they were able to access a phenomenal amount of personal information. And once that happens, you're no longer in the world of, oh, you found a bug on our site and we'll pay you for it. You're in the world of data breaches, and their failure to disclose this data breach is causing them a lot of problems right now.
And they're facing investigations from officials here in the U.S. all about this breach.
That's right. Uber entered into a consent decree with the FTC in the summertime. They sort of agreed to, you know, they had a breach in 2014 and they agreed to take certain steps to ensure user privacy. Now they're coming a few months later and saying, oh, by the way, we did have a breach even before this consent decree with the FTC, and we didn't tell anybody about it. So that's certainly a real problem for the FTC, which said that they were looking into the situation. They have likely violated data breach notification laws in a number of states, and we heard yesterday that New York's attorney general is investigating. They're the only state we know of that is looking into this.
And Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi has had a mountain of things to clean up since he took the top position. I mean, this breach didn't happen on his watch, but as you and Greg Benzinger talk about in your story in the Wall Street Journal, the cover-up here is a big blemish he's got to clear up.
It really is. I mean, Uber's becoming one of those stories where it's, you know, when is the bad news going to end? You think that you've heard everything, and then they somehow managed to come up with something worse. So it's good that they've come clean on this. I'm not sure why that didn't happen earlier. They say they were investigating the cover up, I guess. And but companies are typically pushed to disclose this kind of information as soon as possible. So there's even been a delay since the management change there.
And Uber is embroiled in other investigations as well. I mean, not the least of which is an investigation in response to allegations by Google's parent Alphabet that it stole trade secrets.
You know, when you talk to former Uber employees, you get the sense that they're basically a company that was rewriting the rules. You know, you look at the ride-sharing apps, and their sort of corporate culture was, look at, we're going to go into all of these cities, and what we're doing is sort of a gray area. to begin with. But if we're going to take market share, we're going to have to not worry too much about the rules and going through, you know, the channels to get approval for things. And we should just move quickly and let the consequences come later after we've built our empire. And that's, I guess, the question for the company is, you know, has that culture changed, or are they still a company that really can't be trusted, you know, that doesn't play by the rules, and that will continue to, you know, have these kinds of stories written about it.
But Robert, you cover the security area, the security sector for the Journal very tightly out there in San Francisco. You ever seen something like this before, where a company paid off the bad guys to try to make a big problem go away?
Well, not like this. No, I mean, when I can't think of an example where there was personally identifiable information, where there was a data breach and the money got paid and it wasn't disclosed. Now, there you could make the argument that by paying these people, I mean, certainly many victims of computer crimes end up paying the attackers. You know, we have written extensively about ransomware, for example, over the last year, and there are many, many companies who are hacked and then they pay the attackers money and they get access back to their systems. So you could make the argument in Uber's case that the payment to the hackers might have been part of an investigation. You wanted to find out what happened to the data and who did it, and by paying them, you sort of you create a whole new world of, you know, financial transactions that can be followed, and it gives you the tools you need to find out who's behind this and what they've done with the data. But you still have to disclose. If people's information has been exposed to a third party like this, you have to disclose it, and they didn't do that.
Well, it sounds like something out of a mystery novel, and I think we have several chapters to go in this story. That's the Wall Street Journal's Robert.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. You're right. There's going to be much more to come out. I just had to say that.
Yeah, a lot of authoritative bodies want some answers in this story.
Indeed.
Well, that's the Wall Street Journal's Robert McMillan joining us from San Francisco. Robert, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Jared.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important. And it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Meg Whitman says she'll step down as CEO of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise early next year. She'll hand the reins to company president Antonio Neri. He'll take over the CEO spot in February. Whitman assumed the CEO position 6 years ago and says she would consider taking another chief executive position. Broadcom's $105 billion offer to acquire Qualcomm faces challenges not only in winning over shareholders, but in navigating a host of potential roadblocks from regulators over market dominance, innovation, and national security. But it first has to get past making an attractive offer for Qualcomm, which rejected Broadcom's bid last week. But if a deal is struck, the two companies would form the number three chipmaker by revenue behind Intel and Samsung. And what are the best tech gifts of 2017? Check out Wilson Rothman and Joanna Stern's guide on WSJ.com. And while you're there, check out six boring tech gifts for the holiday season that everyone will love, like an extra phone charger or a gift card for additional cloud storage. Joanna Stern's got you covered in that area, too. And that's the Wall Street Journal Tech News Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen, reporting from the newsroom in New York.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.